Chapter 14. Spy. The taxi pulled over on the corner of Cedar Avenue and Broadway. Veronica handed the driver a $20 bill, and she exited the vehicle with Sean just in time to watch the taxi drive off. South Minneapolis was vastly different than the warehouse district. Two-story houses lined the vacant streets. They walked past an older couple moving debris and dried leaves from their front yard, and a preschool, and its empty playground, with swings drifting back and forth from the frequent gusts of wind. The sun had set, and the air became colder. Veronica shivered and placed her hands into the pockets of her jacket. Sean unfolded a small piece of paper written with the address of the location and rechecked it. "It should be somewhere up there, around the corner," he said to her. His lower lip shivered from the cold. She grabbed his arm and positioned it around her shoulders. In response, he smiled. Any notion of his betrayal and the fact that Kenneth was on his way to Minneapolis left his thoughts. He didn't want to think about it. Not now. At that very moment, walking down the street with her, there was no other place he wanted to be. They continued down Cedar, a one-way street near the main avenue of South Minneapolis. Two-story family homes, secluded behind high wooden fences, lined the streets. When they reached the corner, he stopped, glanced into their left and right. "This way." He pointed down a dark and secluded street. Veronica followed, and he picked up speed in his stride. Newly constructed homes adjoined the cul-de-sac. Halfway down the block, "For sale" signs pitched in the front yards of finished homes moved in the wind. The charred remains of a home sectioned off by police tape sat on the edge of the cul-de-sac between two empty lots. "This is a perfect area for a sanctuary." He looked around. "It's quiet and less populated." Spools of grass stacked the front yards, ready to be rolled out at will. A distinct smell of burnt wood lingered in the air. Crumbled remains toppled upon one another. They stopped only feet from the ruins, staring at the implausible environment. Sean awed. "Incredible. Do you think anything survived?" she asked. "Let's find out." He ducked under the police tape and stepped into the ruins. He slipped on the burnt piece of wood and held out his hand for balance. "Sean, be careful. I can still feel the heat."
"I will."
He watched her walk along the perimeter of the yellow tape, carefully observing the surroundings. He turned back to the remains, and he started to remove the burnt pieces. He didn't know if anything remained from the fire. If any demon died, their bodies would have turned to ash and scattered to the winds. But if any demon survived, they sure wouldn't remain underneath the rubble.
"There's an empty hole over here," Veronica called out. "I think it's a basement, or what's left of a basement."
Sean continued to dig through the rubble. His feelings about his assignment resurfaced, and he tried to ignore them. He found it harder to block his own thoughts from himself than blocking his own thoughts from a demon. His hands moved over a smooth and burnt piece of wood. "I think I found something." Veronica hurried back over to him. He tossed burnt pieces of wood to the side.
"What is it?" She waited for him to stop digging. He cleared the remaining debris to the side, lifting up a piece of the blackened wood that stood taller than him.
"A lid to a coffin," he said,
turning the piece to the side, examining it.
"A coffin?"
"Yeah," his eyes fixed on the piece of wood.
"It looks like it."
He lifted it and placed it on her shoulder as he walked toward her. He dropped it on the ground in front of her and breathed in heavily, trying to catch his breath.
"It has to be."
He couldn't believe his eyes. Beneath the layer of burnt residue, he clearly saw that the board had the shape of a lid. A small metal piece on the side of the wood further proved his theory. He continued to wipe away the smaller pieces of burnt chips. She placed her hands on the burnt wood that was hardened and cracked from the fire. "I don't know,"
It's too burnt to tell what it is.
It could be. He bent down over the piece to examine it. His mind wandered to the various possibilities. We might have found an actual sanctuary.
She placed her hands on her hips. The Katha could still be down there.
If it is, then maybe the Vadi is too.
I haven't heard that many stories of demons in coffins, though.
I read one report about a researcher finding a sanctuary full of coffins, he replied to her.
Like vampires who used coffins to protect them from the sun during the day, demon were also avid coffin users. But as time passed and their sanctuaries became more modern, they began to settle for beds and cubbyholes and basements.
We should try to find the remains. He turned his attention back to the ruins. It could be down there.
And what if we find it? Then what?
This is your idea, Veronica. He lifted himself up from the ground. You wanted to come here to investigate.
The thought of discovering an actual demon sanctuary rattled his brain. It was exciting, yet at the same time terrifying. He wasn't cut out of field research, and he worried about running into more demon like the ones at the bar a few days ago. He also didn't want to admit the possibility that what he admired was nothing more than burned wood, coincidentally shaped like the lid of a coffin. He rolled his eyes at his delusive theory and looked off into the distance.
I know, Sean. His demeanor suddenly changed as his eyes slowly protruded. I thought you liked exploring the unknown and flirting with danger.
Don't throw that back in my face, she barked back at him.
His eyes caught a glimpse of the house behind her.
What's that? He pointed behind her.
She followed his stare to the wall of a vacant home. The writing covered the back wall of the home. Together, they read the spray-painted, construed, bubbly word, Lugat.
Is that what I think it is? He squinted.
They tab their territories like this now?
Yeah, I saw something like that just a few days ago.
Shit, Sean painfully whispered. He looked down at the ruins he stood in. Veronica placed her hands on the graffiti.
So that sanctuary was a Lugat sanctuary.
Sean felt his cell phone buzz in his pocket of his jeans, and the sound threw him back to reality.
Fop.
He looked up at her. I have to answer this. He walked away, and he stared at his phone, knowing that Kenneth was on the other end.
Hello?
He answered. Kenneth's voice echoed from the earpiece.
What is the status?
Sean's high spirits vanished. He sighed, paused, and then licked his already moist lips.
So far, so good.
Good? Kenneth's robotic voice replied back. How goes the mission? We're at a sanctuary right now.
Does she suspect anything?
Not yet, but she will.
As long as she doesn't know, we should be good.
Your email sounded rather disheartening.
Really?
Sean cupped his hand over his mouth to hide the conversation from Veronica.
I don't see how. She's taking the bait. She hasn't been back to Dark Sepulchre. She believes the fires are directly connected to her research.
Mr. Austin made his intentions clear, Sean. You are not to provide his daughter with any documented material.
And I haven't.
Sean felt a lump in his throat. He knew eventually they'd find out about the documents he'd taken before he left for Minneapolis, but he didn't think it'd be so fast.
Are you sure about that?
Why wouldn't I be? Look, from what I'm experiencing here in Minneapolis, I'll see a need to restart the chapter. Yes, demon are somewhat out of control, but bringing the Brotherhood back into this mess may do more harm than good.
If Mr. Austin wanted your opinion, he would have asked for it.
Kenneth interrupted him. You are not there to access, nor are you there to help her.
Mr. Austin made that clear as crystal.
I understand.
Good. Because Mr. Austin isn't sympathetic to failure, and he doesn't take second chances.
I understand, Sean heard Kenneth sigh on the other end of the line. You were set with a simple task, and you failed by stealing more classified documents from the archives. You've given Mr. Austin no other choice. Sean remained silent, waiting for the phrase, "You're fired." Instead, Kenneth's reply turned into the last thing he wanted to hear. You are to immediately cease communications and all activities in regards to Miss Austin. You are ordered to check in at the Gateway Hotel on Hennepin Avenue, room 301, and stay there until I and several researchers arrive tomorrow evening. What? You've been pulled from the assignment, Sean, Kenneth continued. And do yourself a favor this time. Don't disobey Mr. Austin's orders again. I'll be in touch. Kenneth hung up the phone. Sean stuffed his phone back in his pocket and he turned to Veronica. She had to know. No more secrets. Who was it? We have to go now. He took her by her hand and began to lead her down the street. Sean, what is it? She struggled to keep up with his hurried pace. I'll tell you when we get back to your apartment, I promise. He increased his speed to a hasty walk. What's going on? It's nothing. Was that your contact on the phone? No, he blurted. It's not that, it's... I'll tell you when we get back to your apartment. They reached the corner, and he cautiously looked down the street before proceeding. Who was it? She asked him again. He didn't answer. She yanked her hand, breaking free from his grasp. I'm not going anywhere until you tell me what's wrong. Trust me, we need to get off the streets. He held out his hand. She heard the panic in his voice, and she saw his agitation. Why? I'll tell you when we get to your apartment. His breathing became erratic. Sean. Veronica, trust me, please. She stepped away from him. I trust you, but I'm not moving until you tell me what the hell is going on. Her comment blinded him. She never doubted him. This was a first. She tilted her head to the side and crossed her arms in front of her chest. He released a tired sigh and deeply regretted coming back to Minneapolis. He wanted to relive the day when Mr. Austin gave him the stupid task. Saying no and refusing to spy on her seemed easy enough. She had the right to know what was going on, and he had no right to lie to her as her best friend. Fuck it. He took a deep breath. Veronica, He scratched his head, taking another deep breath. He looked over her shoulder and Francie, then he turned around, staring down the street. Again, he looked over her shoulder before looking into her eyes. What, Sean? Okay, fine, he conceded. There's so much I need to tell you about why I came here, but I can't tell you now, right here. I'm telling you, it's not safe on the streets. I don't know if they're already here or not. Who's already here? The Brotherhood, he answered. Her eyes widened. Since when? Since I arrived. He grabbed her hand, and they resumed their fast pace. Kenneth might already be here, I don't know. Kenneth? Do you mean Kenneth Dearhorn? He's the new Midwest region leader. He didn't look at her as he stared off into the distance, still taking in the information. Since when did he become the Midwest region leader? His shoulders drew back and his eyebrows arched higher on his face. Before I left. They stepped off the curb and Sean waved his hands to signal a taxi. Veronica folded her arms, watching his frantic behavior. Cars drove past, including one taxi that totally ignored them. He'd looked down the street at a woman standing alone underneath an orange streetlight, eyeing their every movement. Were they already here? Sean looked back at the woman again, and Veronica followed his gaze. Sean, I've seen her before. As the other fire, is she from the Brotherhood? I don't think so, Sean spoke. Maybe a minion? Her eyes bulged from their sockets. Lambert did tell me I was protected,
Maybe this is what he meant.
We have to get out of here. His panic movements increased. He frantically waved his hands again at a taxi. Finally, a white cab stopped. He opened the door and hopped in the front seat.
Veronica, get in.
He closed the door. She slowly opened the rear door and climbed into the vehicle.
Where to?
The taxi driver pressed his foot on the gas pedal.
Palm Oaks, he answered.
Veronica leaned over to the other window. She watched the woman until the taxi turned the corner.
Sean remained silent on the way to Palm Oaks, his eyes fixated on the scenery from the car windows while the taxi sped down the highway. Several times Veronica tried to make conversation, but he didn't reply. Instead, he nervously tapped his fingers on his knees. His behavior was noticeable, and the taxi driver asked him if he was all right. He nodded, mumbled, and continued with his erratic behavior. It was only when they were inside Veronica's apartment that Sean began to release his frustration. He paced back and forth in her living room, undecided on how he could tell her the truth without sacrificing their friendship. He let out a weak laugh and ran his fingers through his hair.
She took off her jacket. Are you sure you okay? You seem a little spooked.
He stopped pacing and looked at her.
They're coming, Veronica. Do you know what that means?
Sean, sit, she said as she pointed to the couch. You're making me nervous. He stared by her and finally succumbed and sat on the couch. I don't care if the Brotherhood is coming back to Minneapolis, she sat next to him. This isn't going to stop my search.
He tapped his feet rapidly on the floor.
That's not it. He leaned back and sighed.
What is it?
He didn't know where to start. The Brotherhood, her father, the real reason he came to Minneapolis. He couldn't bring himself to tell her everything just yet.
Before agreeing to his plan, he pieced the tiny remnants of what he could find together. He never told Veronica, but he'd always thought her mother had died. Killed, not by the hands of a demon, but by the hands of her own father. Everyone who ever worked in the Brotherhood during and after that time speculated the very same dark scenario, but no one suspected, and no one really knew. When he tried to find out, his own parents warned him about digging into the Brotherhood's dark history. During his long work nights in his office at the San Diego headquarters, he searched around, listening to the rumors being said about her father. He sifted through old boxes filled with documents that smelled of old water in the building's dank basement. He hacked into the Brotherhood files, only to find that the information he wanted was blacked out. He searched secret information before it was moved into the highly secured and guarded library. His own parents told him stories of their youth as researchers, unaware that their son was piecing together clues. It was only a hypothesis, but he felt it was damn near close to the truth. When Veronica mentioned the name Lucius to him, his brain lit up like a light bulb.
There's something that we're missing, his voice drifted as he thought.
What? The tension drove Veronica mad. He lifted his head and turned slightly toward her.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but your father sent me here to spy on you.
She gently placed her hand under her chin, and she turned her head toward him.
What?
Your father sent me here to spy on you. She raised her hand, and he immediately quieted.
My father sent you here?
She didn't understand his comment. Believe me, I couldn't say no, he hesitated. She glared into his eyes, and he looked to the floor.
You could have said no, Sean.
You of all people know what happens when a researcher says no, Veronica, he replied. I can't refuse your father. He's one of the three presidents of the Brotherhood. What would you expect me to do? He expected her to push away from him and to lash out like she used to when she became upset. Instead, her eyes began to fill with tears while she continued to glare at him. He felt her body shiver in his embrace.
You could have just told me, Sean, she whispered. I'm telling you now. She cleared her throat and regained her posture. What did my father want you to do? He knew he had to tell her, but still he held back, and without thinking clearly, he replied, just to make sure that you stayed away from that sepulcher, and if you found anything significant, to let them know about your progress. Are you lying to me now? She pounced on his arm. The pain traveled to her shoulder, blade like sharp pinpoint needles. No, I'm not, he exclaimed. A part of me didn't want to say no. I want to be here to make sure nothing happens to you. I didn't want what happened to Rick to happen to you. I know the risk. I'm not a little girl anymore. She rested her head in her hands. I know where I was getting myself into when I came back to Minneapolis. She stood up. You of all people know that. He nodded, and startled by his lack of honesty, he quickly rose to his feet. So far, she absorbed his information better than he thought she would. He expected her to throw him out of her apartment and to never talk to him again. But here he was, still in her presence. He waited for her response while his mind ran with wild thoughts. Finally, she pushed him away and stormed into the kitchen. He quickly followed her to the kitchen counter. She leaned back, glaring at the ceiling. He tried again.
Veronica, I know there's nothing I can say to make you feel better, but Kenneth is coming to Minneapolis with a few researchers. They're going to restart the Minnesota chapter. You can't stop them.
You don't understand. I don't care if they're coming, Sean. Let them come.
She wiped back the brown strands of hair from her face, revealing a trail of tears running down her cheek.
What I care about is that you lying to me. You came here to spy on me.
He reached out to her and touched her shoulder.
I'm so sorry.
She didn't respond.
If you want, I can leave now. I can walk out of that door, and when they get here,
no,
she interrupted, and then placed her hands on her hips.
I don't want you to leave. I want you to come with me to Blind Bluff Manor.
Excuse me? He didn't expect that reply from her.
The sanctuary?
Yes, I'm going. She clasped her hands together. I want you to come with me. Surprised, he stepped back and watched her gather herself. She wiped her tears, and for a moment, he saw a look of disillusion of himself in her eyes.
Are you sure, Veronica?
She nodded. Positive. She placed her hands on his shoulders. My father doesn't want me to go there, right? He nodded. Well, if my father doesn't want me to go there, then it has to be important.